What's up, wilderness? You folks are listening to episode number four. This is number four already. Look at us.
We are rolling.
Look at us go.
We are rolling with the river.
This is yes, we are.
Yes.
It's great. It feels awesome. We're rolling with the river to episode number four. I'm your host, Ryan Quigley. You can find me on Twitter at @RP_Quigs. And as always, I am joined with the certainly something at Lindsay Brown 35.
Certainly
Lindsay.
Something. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Greetings.
All right. So, Lindsay, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll just throw them both at you at once. So the Minnesota Wild.
Yes.
What are the Minnesota Wild? But more importantly, why
existential. And it is way too late to be asking these. What do you mean, what are they? They're a hockey team. They're not a very good one, but
are we certain about that?
I mean, they put the skates on. They have the stick. They wear all the equipment. And most of them know how to skate pretty well. So, yeah, I think it qualifies.
I could dress up like a cop, and that doesn't make me a cop.
This is true, but you can't go out and buy any, like, a cop badge. Like, you have to have special papers.
True.
But you can go buy hockey equipment anywhere.
That's true.
Even on
the
internet.
You're right. And you know what? I'm going to extend this question too. And this, folks, this is a very, very important podcast that you're listening to right now. This is the first time ever in the history of time.
Ever.
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 That we are having a third guest join us on the show. And finally, after how long? It was like weeks of her being like possibly on the brink of death. And
yeah,
just
there were a few late scratches.
Sicknesses. We are finally joined by the one, the only, Logan Stark. Logan, thank you so much for joining the show all the way up from Oregon. How are you, Logan?
Yes, I am good. I am excited to be on the podcast and currently have World Series Game 7 on the TV, and I'm just trying to multitask and not really, you know, handling the hyperventilating well.
Right. You know what?
So
it's understandable.
You talked about me being on injured reserve because that is really accurate.
Right. You know what? Yeah. If you have to scream every once in a while because something crazy is happening in the game, totally understandable. It's game seven.
Like, we get it really, in the hockey community. We all know what that feeling is. We all know what the stakes are.
I can't even imagine doing something of importance during a game seven in like the Stanley Cup final, or really any game seven in any hockey series.
We would have to be hooked up to heart monitors, to be totally honest, because nothing like it, even if it's not your own team. But if it is your own team, then it's, I don't even know. We wouldn't know with the Minnesota Wild because they never even sniffed the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
They won't anytime soon.
So let me...
Sorry.
So now let me extend this question to you, Logan. Logan, why did the Wild do this to us good people? We're innocent folks. And it's like they torture our brains. You know, all right, so they just finished up their game against the St. Louis Blues. They lost 2-1 in St. Louis. You know, defending Stanley Cup champs, good team. Like, whatever. Like, we'll get to that later. Let's get to...
Well, you're going to let Logan answer the question?
Well, yeah, all right, yeah. You're right. I'm all over the place. Logan, you go
ahead. I'm going to ask you a question, but wait.
Yeah. Logan, tell me something. Like, just why do they play with our emotions like this?
Because they enjoy pain, and pain is life, so they're giving us life,
Existence
maybe?
Is wow. pain.
I feel like I'm reading a Kafka novel.
Existence
right now.
Is indeed pain.
My goodness.
You're right. We're going to skip this Wild Star or Blues game and go directly to the Wild Stars game because, folks, let me just...
And that happened when?
That happened Tuesday night, last night at the time of our recording right now. So
good.
It happened last night, Tuesday night. And folks, I think I speak for everybody when I say what, and I can't stress this enough, the hell was that? What was
that? Well, what was the score first? Before we freak out, we got to tell them exactly what happened. We got to recap because not everybody might have watched this entire game.
Let's just go through from start to finish. So, all right. So Wild take the 3-0 lead.
Stars person here, maybe I should like do the recap.
Oh,
Logan
there
does,
you go.
Logan has an extensive background with the Dallas Stars. So Logan, if you would do us the pleasure of recapping this nightmare that really was a hockey game, that would be great because I don't want to relive it.
Of course, yeah. I'm still not entirely convinced it was a hockey game. It was a baseball score more than anything. But so the Wild actually came out of the gate firing. They caught Dallas on their back heels. They had 3 goals going into the end of the second period, which was insane. I haven't seen Minnesota play that aggressively, I think, this season, to be honest. I think they were really surprised to come in and get Dallas looking. And then, you know, at the end of the second period, I believe it was like 1 minute left, right? That first goal happened from Dallas, right. And third period, I don't know what Jamie Benn said in the locker room, but my God, it worked. Dallas came out and had 5 goals in the third, so 6 unanswered total from Minnesota. And I was just sitting there looking at the end of it going, did I walk into an alternate timeline? Like the Stars right. top line, who has been MIA since preseason, finally remembered how to score goals. Alexander Radulov had a hat trick in like 25 minutes of hockey, essentially.
He's a wild killer, though. He's a wild killer. He plays really well and has since he's come over from Russia when he first, I think, for that Nashville Predators run a few years back, he joined right. the team and then has been with Montreal and Dallas since then. He scores goals against this team, and I don't know what it is about him, but he can be a special player sometimes.
If Radulov wants to, he will just engage in beast mode and just become unstoppable. Like
he looks like he fights bears.
He does. If he looked at me, I'd probably poop.
Well, and Sean Shapiro's recap of the game for The Athletic, his title was, quote, mildly psychotic, Radulov goes off again.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I just want to know who in the locker room called Radulov that, because it is very appropriate.
It's incredibly appropriate, yeah. right? It's yeah. just that, like, all right, you got the 3-0 lead. Like Logan said, you have the 3-0 lead late in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
Like
dominating the Stars.
They really were.
And the Stars haven't done themselves any favors to start off the season, right, Logan?
Right.
Sorry, say that again?
The Stars have not done themselves any favors in their start to the season. High expectations, but they have not been met so far.
God, no. The only thing they've had going for them are two new faces called Gurianov and Hintz, and those two have been carrying the team. I mean, they're paying their top line an ungodly sum of money, and Sagan, Ben, and Radulov have it's like putting jerseys on ghosts at this point. They haven't done anything. So last night, they came out of hibernation. They did something, but it's so late into the start of the season that now they have to dig themselves out of that hole. So that top line has a lot to carry, and I think the Wild game was what they needed. Unfortunately, it was against the Wild, who right. needed a game of their own like that. So the Wild need to go pick on somebody who's bottom of the league, maybe Ottawa, maybe Chicago, someone that like is mostly injured and they can just kind of walk in and win against.
Well, they did beat Ottawa that one time.
That one time.
Barely
at Bandcamp.
They barely did it.
Yeah,
so it's
barely.
Just like, I think it was what, 2-0, and one of the goals was an empty netter. So it's
most
just like,
likely.
And of course, Victor Rask
of the season, and that was what, like 4 games in.
Yeah, it's,
right.
It's crazy. Has Jim Leitz said anything to the players in Dallas yet?
No,
he hasn't called them.
He hasn't lit their ass on fire yet, like he did last year around this time.
We're waiting for it.
Not yet. I am honestly waiting for it, but I think after last night's game, the comments have been slightly postponed. Hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're hoping.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they just collapsed. Like, the Wild had absolute – that entire third period looked like a power play for the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. The yep. Stars have the star power.
They
this
do,
is the
do.
Difference between a stocked cupboard that's underperforming mm-hmm. and a bear cupboard that just does bear cupboard things.
Right.
That sometimes can play a decent hockey game. And they played some decent games. They've racked up a couple wins. But that's the difference, where they can't just turn it on in the third period and all of a sudden go off for 5 goals. They don't have that star power. And just
right, right.
Like Logan was saying, all the money that they have tied up on that first line, it's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But it's they're just, I don't know what their deal is. It just seems like so sporadic. They're one mood from the next. And we've talked about it on my podcast, the Nightcap Podcast.
Of course.
The scoring in the first or last minute
yes.
of the period and how important that is for momentum and teams looking to try to reclaim it like the Stars did last night or
yep.
losing it like the Wild did.
If the Wild are good at one thing, it's either giving up multiple goals, like in bunches,
short spans, mm-hmm.
or just allowing, like, you know, a goal in the first couple minutes or a goal in the last couple minutes.
And that has to be so demoralizing.
It is.
Has that been happening in Dallas, Logan?
Is the demoralization happening in Dallas?
Yeah, like, what's their poison? Like, why are they losing so much in Dallas?
We're not entirely sure. They're playing the game the right way. Looking at the stats, looking at, you know, everything, they seem to be doing. I would just like to point out the Nationals just won Game 7 of the World Series.
Good for the Nationals. Good for them.
I might be crying a little.
Oh,
my boys! So Dallas has really struggled with special teams this season, and that has been their undoing in a lot of games where they go on the penalty kill, they take a lot of really, really dumb penalties, and then can't keep it out of their own zone. So that's been their undoing so far. But they haven't had a ton of injuries aside from Como, Polak, and one or two others who weren't. I mean, it's not like you're taking out, you know, Radulov or Hintz, who are those goal scorers. So
Hintz, man, he's
on paper, they're doing the right thing, but somehow on the ice, it's not translating, which is so odd to see. Especially with the acquisition of like Pavelski in the offseason, you expect him to come in firing because he had such a stellar season last year. And it took him until I think the Minnesota game to really get his skates under him and start going.
I feel like the Wild are, in a way, similar.
I think so, too.
You do have some big-name players, not exactly at this stage in their career, superstars. Like, I don't think anyone's going to call Zach Parise now an elite superstar.
There ain't no Tyler Seguin on this roster.
There is no Tyler Seguin on the Wild. Like, that does not exist on the Minnesota Wild right now. But they do have the Zach Parises. They did get that kind of big free agent pickup in Matt Zuccarello, but he's 32. Like
used car, nice used car. It's fine.
Yeah. Like
it's
solid.
Durable. It'll get the family across the country for the summer vacation, but you're not going to be picking up any chicks.
Exactly. No.
I will say that's what we all thought with Dallas when he signed at the trade deadline in February. He had that, you know, period and a half of hockey before he broke his arm, and we thought, I mean, he was okay. He had one or two points. He was fine.
Yeah, it was a hell of a period and a half.
Yeah.
It was. But, you know, when he came back and for the playoffs, we're like, God, we hope he's really good, but given his age and his past output, we kind of doubt it. And then he was mad. He came out firing. So yeah. I think he's doing the same thing with Minnesota again. If it takes him a little while to get going and used to a new team, and now that he's had that goal, maybe the waterworks have been turned on and off he can go. But honestly, I don't have high hopes for him. I don't think one offseason acquisition is going to make a difference with this team. We're looking at multiple players have to be shuffled around. And the core is aging. They have a lot of money tied up, so they don't have a lot of room to negotiate. And I still cannot believe Minnesota said Niederreier to Carolina. I can. To that and just going, what were you doing?
Insane.
Logan mentions Matt Zuccarello's first goal. He did. He got the one goal that Minnesota scored tonight.
Good for
him. It was his first of the year, his first as a member of the Wild. And it was a pretty nice, it was a fun little goal. He had Eric Staal behind the net, and he gave him a nice little pass right in front, and he buried it. So, yeah, cool. Do that more.
but that's the problem. The scoring is so tough, and that's why when they score three goals, you're like, oh my God, they scored three goals.
The offense is firing on all cylinders,
but the problem is that sometimes we forget that we're not operating in the year 2007 anymore, and that three goals per game, it's not going to work.
That's what you need to score.
That's like what most teams just start with in the first period. You're like, go put three up, then we're done. Then you build off of it. But they just, when they do have the outbursts, maybe they just need to figure out a way, maybe we do need to score less and really save some gas for the tank for that end of the game type of play, because they just cannot score in bunches and could not get into an arms race with a team like, even like a team struggling like Dallas was, or any of these teams that they've played to start out the season.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. There's just so much wrong with this. And like, I don't even know where to start. Like, when it comes to offense, you really would think that they would be better. And like, they do.
Why would you think that though?
Because the chances are there. Like, they do set themselves up and they put themselves in position.
Are chances guaranteed?
No.
Okay.
You go. Well, see, here's the thing. So like, They don't even get far. Let me say this. The chances aren't necessarily there, but this is going to sound really weird. The chance to create the chance is there. So, for example, on a two-on-one rush, how many times have we seen the Wild this season blow an odd man rush?
Okay. Like, not new.
So many times.
Why? Awful.
Yeah.
It's
their forwards don't get back. They get too deep in the zone, and they send two of their forwards too deep into the offensive zone, and they don't have the leg speed anymore to keep up with the team as they exit, because they can't back check quick
enough.
It's
dumbfounding.
And so they're leaving their defensemen, who aren't that great either. I mean, better than most, but if your defensemen are your highlight of the team, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But they don't have the talent to create as many chances, and they don't have the talent to help mitigate mistakes that other players are making. That's what's hurt. It's just an all-around, You're just too short to ride the roller coaster, kid. We can't let you on.
Yeah. I like that.
Right,
enough.
Logan?
Yeah.
I think they need to have a come to hockey Jesus moment.
Yes.
Very soon. Because I will say, and I think most Wild fans who have seen my work on the site and have followed my Twitter know that I came into this site not being a Wild fan. And what's been interesting is watching this team and really starting to fall in love with the players and the history and the franchise itself, and then just going, what is going wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can't imagine being in that locker room night after night with this kind of a result and going, they're putting the work in, they're getting the shots, but they can't convert. Something has to change, and I think it's the players at this point. Like, Boudreau can say all he wants. You know, the ownership can say what they want. At this point, it needs to be like the rookies in the locker room who stand up and go, guys, we have to change this. And I think that moment is coming very, very soon after two back-to-back losses against a, you know, Stanley Cup champion. And the Stars, who, right, albeit suffering this year, were incredibly good at the end of last year. So
absolutely, they were.
It's just, is this normal to be a Minnesota Wild fan and just suffer in heartbreak constantly? Yeah,
that's just in general Minnesota sports in general. This is just the winter pain. It's just to go with the frostbite and the really bad wind chills.
Since I started covering the Minnesota Wild, if there's one thing I've learned, the Minnesota Wild fan base has to be one of, if not the most loyal and fun fan base. Like,
it's not embrace. Loyalty out of love, though. It's loyalty just so they can literally shit on them constantly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's to buy into the misery. We love being miserable together. We're never going to win a championship. We get to the doorstep and then we falter every time. This city's not going to know what to do if and when a championship is won by any of the teams. But a hockey championship would be next level. And I think just people know, because it's an educated fan base,
right,
they know how deep this hole is, mm-hmm, and how long it's going to take. And they're not willing to just sit around and watch the process.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to see it when they're taking steps in the positive direction, but I don't want to see the initial steps.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm glad you mentioned just how deep this hole is. Because
very deep.
And we actually have an article going live tomorrow by Kyle Anway. If you don't know his stuff, you really should. He's one of our writers at Hockey Wilderness. He is absolutely fantastic. He is a legend. And he wrote a very insightful piece that goes live tomorrow, which is on Thursday. If you're listening to this podcast in the future, today it is Wednesday. It is about basically how the Wild are kind of fucked at the moment. And the reason why is because of a little something called cap recapture penalty. Now, folks, if you don't know what the cap recapture penalty is, let me just give you a basic, you know, a very basic example.
I will just butt in, Ryan, before you start down that road, because I was editing the article last night and reading through it and going, I'm glad we're putting this out on Halloween, because it reads like a horror story.
Yes, it does.
You get further and further into the article. And so, fair warning to our listeners, buckle up, because Ryan is about to tell you a ghost story that is going to haunt your nightmares for the next 5 years.
You're going to pee your pants. You're going to have to get some new pants. Like, it's awful. So, all right. So basically, let's just go through and give an example. Okay. And luckily for the Wild, they have two players that serve as a great example for the cap recapture penalty. Those two players are, and we mentioned them a little bit earlier, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter.
They play on this team? What?
Believe it or not, yes.
I told you.
Believe it or not, they play on the Minnesota Wild
That's
hockey team.
That's crazy.
And if you
really?
Don't, they do. And so both of them signed a very, very long contract extension. What year even? What was
2012,
it? 2012-13, right?
2012. Summer of 2012,
yeah.
I believe.
And so basically they're making upwards of $7 million per season.
And this season.
Huh?
This season.
This season.
Yes.
And every season.
Yes.
And so now they are, let me take, I can't remember their exact ages. I know they're both in their mid-30s, which is concerning.
I believe Suter's 34, and I think Parise's 33.
Suter turns 35 in January, and
yes.
Parise is 35 now.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. They're closer than I thought.
And they are both under contract for, after this season, not one, not two, not three, not four, 5 more years!
Yeah, but this is the bed we made. This is the bed that we made with Chuck. This is what happened.
Chuck, Chucky Two Trades, I know you're listening.
Wow.
That is a shout out to Craig Forsyth of Minnesota, of Hockey Wilderness, and of course Broad Street Hockey. Chucky Two Trades, he did us bad on this one. 7.5, I don't even know what this number is. $7.5 million a year is what they're paying both Parisi and Suter for after this season, 5 years.
Yep.
And
that's a mind-boggling number, just in any term.
Crazy.
Yep.
It's
that's
nuts.
That's
it's
why
nuts,
the lockout
right?
happened.
So, like, at this age, 35 years, they're both basically 35. You have to be wondering, like, okay, well, like, how do they fix this? Like, obviously, they can just
you don't.
You can just trade them, right?
No.
Isn't that how you do it?
Not necessarily.
Don't
go for number three. No.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. You could trade them, but is it in your best interest in order to get out from under whatever wet blanket these deals are?
It certainly isn't. And the reason why is because, let's pretend the Wild do trade them away. They because of this cap recapture penalty, which you can read more about on Kyle's article. It is fantastic. It explains it very thoroughly.
Where can we find that?
Much better. At HockeyWilderness.com.
Okay, just double check.
So if you don't know that, you should go. The Hockey Wilderness podcast, HockeyWilderness.com. Basically, let's pretend that Zach Parise were to retire in the 2023-24 season.
And he's the more likely of the two to either be moved or retire before Ryan.
Correct. Correct.
So this is a good hypothetical.
So let's pretend he plays until 2023-24. And he retires with 1 year left on his deal. Because of the cap recapture penalty, what it does is it takes, like, the money that is like, owed or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay it based on the years left after he retires. So the amount of money due, if he retires with 3 years left on his contract, then that money is spread over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
If he retires with 1 year left, which is what would happen if he were to retire in 2023-24 with another team, the Minnesota Wild would have to pay $19.6 million in 1 year.
And if he were playing for another team, why do the Wild still foot the bill? Can you explain that?
Basically, the reason behind that is it's a lot like the Roberto Luongo situation.
Okay. Can you explain what that situation is?
Yeah, so basically...
That takes me back.
Basically, the Vancouver Canucks signed Roberto Luongo to a very long extension that was essentially front-loaded.
Yep.
So...
Goaltender for the Canucks.
Exactly.
At the time.
Yes, yes. And legendary goaltender for both the Canucks and the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the reasons I got into hockey. So.
Interesting.
Basically, if you sign a contract like that, you are eligible for the cap recapture penalty. And basically, this was agreed upon in the last collective bargaining agreement that they made in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right after they made that, the Wild were like, we can do this. It's fine. Nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, folks? It can happen. So, basically, when Roberto Luongo retired, even though he retired with the Florida Panthers, the Vancouver Canucks now have to pay, I believe it's $3 million per year that's remaining on his contract.
Right. And how much do the Panthers have to pay?
$0.
Okay.
Exactly $0.
Okay.
Is it just me or does anyone else look at this and go, what were they smoking when they wrote this rule?
I can tell you exactly what was
I
being smoked. I can tell you exactly.
Can you smoke meth, right?
Yeah. No, I do not. Let's not put that out over on any sort of public forum like a podcast. But
no, not you. Not you.
Yeah. Oh, we don't want to. The deep fake. It counts for right. audio, too. No, I can tell you exactly what happened, why these deals were signed, because we didn't know what we know now. The decline wasn't in the mind. And at that point, the Minnesota Wild were in the abyss. Like, it had been an awful few years. The XL was not even close to being sold out. It was rather empty, and that's very, very bad to see in the state of hockey, or at least the self-proclaimed state of hockey. And they needed to get the community excited about the Wild again because it's an expansion team. It came to the state in 2000. They had that really weird run in 2003 to the Western Conference Finals in which they got swept by the Ducks, and then nobody wants to talk about it. But after that, it was just a steady decline of Marian Gaborik basically having one foot in New York and one foot here, and then your only saving grace was Mikko Koivu. And even when he was in his prime, he wasn't no saving grace. And
right.
So they go out and get Suter and Parise, and I think they were shocked that they got both. And I think Russo has a really good in-depth article on The Athletic or maybe on formerly on the Star Tribune site, kind of breaking down that entire, I think, 72 hours or so when they when those deals were signed and how quickly it all came together. But I think they were just trying to get one of them, but they ended up getting both. And they're like, yeah, well, if we win a cup in the next 3 to 4 years, all this is fine. We won't care about that all that those costs later in the contract when
exactly.
they're
exactly. Yeah.
But nothing happened.
Guess what? Yeah,
they did it
exactly. Exactly.
They went to the playoffs for 6 straight years, which is fun.
Yep. We love those first rounders and sometimes second round trips.
You know what would be more fun, though? If they, you know, won playoff series.
We don't know how to do that.
They don't. They never will. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. That's a little too negative.
Are you speaking a foreign language? Because I think any of us involved with Minnesota just heard, like white noise when you said that. Win a playoff series?
Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs this year, so we're not winning any series. We can't even win a back-to-back.
Oh, yeah. I know there are some fans out there who may be listening, and they're the type of fans that are hopeful every year to make the playoffs, and maybe you never know.
There's not many left.
Yeah. They're not – I'm just telling you guys right now, they're not making the playoffs. They're not going to – they're definitely not going to the Stanley Cup Final. Like – I don't know. I don't know when they're making the playoffs again. I don't.
I hope never. I hope no time soon.
Oh, and I forgot a little.
I will say, hold on.
Yeah.
You saying that now, the Wild are tanking. They have the worst start in the league. Let me just point out, the Washington Nationals were 19-31. They were the worst in the league at the end of May. And as of 15 minutes ago, they are World Series champions. So.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. The St. Louis Blues.
I will say,
but DC is being blessed.
Yeah.
The sports scene, at least, because the other scenes aren't so great.
Yeah. Logically, Minnesota won't make it. But if baseball has proved anything this year, and the St. Louis Blues did the exact same thing, it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. It's just in that 0.01% chance that it could happen. So I think I just became a hopeful Minnesota fan. What have you guys done to me?
Well, all right. So let me say this. So just to add a little more negativity to your listen.
What?
So you know how I said all that about Zach Parise and like how they could possibly owe about $20 million for that 1 year?
See.
The same applies for Ryan Suter.
Yes, because they signed twin deals. They're matching.
So let's pretend both Ryan Suter and Zach Parise both retire, are both traded before the 2023-24 season, and they retire that year. The Minnesota Wild will potentially be looking at a cap penalty of $40 million.
But they both have to sign off on this because we have not said that they have a no-movement clause. Both of them have no trade clauses. They would have to waive them. And let me tell you, Ryan Suter's not getting traded anywhere because he's not leaving.
He said, like, he does not
want to leave. Parise's your only shot, and you would have to have things go really south and have a team – that is willing to make a deal that's it would a lot of different things would have to fall into place.
So, folks, basically,
I think we're
the best
looking at that ideal season right now, though. The Wild are tanking, there are teams with the cap space, and Minnesota is going to start trying to shake things up pretty soon if nothing happens,
right? Yeah, I mean, we posted an article earlier this week at hockeywilderness.com about three players who are on the trade block right now. The Ottawa Sun reported that Kevin Fiala,
shocking,
Joel Eriksson Ek. And
keep him.
And Ryan Donato. All three of those players are on the block, according to the Ottawa Sun. I don't know how
I'm really surprised Eriksson Ek is on that block, though.
I was too.
From him. He's been one of their better players.
Right, yeah.
In lieu of the core stepping up.
He's not the type of player who's going to score.
They've had an extended look at him, too. He's been up here long enough where maybe they're just saying the ceiling is not worth it. And if everybody's on the table who can be on the table, why not? Because his stock technically probably hasn't been higher than it is right now. And that's not saying much. But those three block shots, at least people kind of know who he is right now.
He does play well defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good defensive. Right. Sometimes you need that.
You didn't draft
him
in the first round to be a good defensive forward.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. But like at the same time, like if that's what he is, that is still a useful player that can be playing every game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like, if you trade him, and then who knows? Like, there are some teams who would kill to have a player like him.
Right.
So,
and they could be just sticking him out there to basically help raise the value of the other players they're looking to trade. Because if you just put out all of your players that you are on your shit list, people are gonna be less incentivized to go through bargain bin shopping on your trade block.
Yeah.
You gotta put at least one good piece out there.
It's honestly scary. Just first of all, what do you even think they'd get back for those players? Like Eriksson Ek, what do you think he'd get? Like a third round pick, if that? Maybe third or fourth round pick.
Depends if you're trying to make a hockey trade.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be a hockey
trade.
Logan,
what do you think Erickson Ek could fetch if they're just going like Ek straight up? What do you think he's valued at draft pick wise?
Oh, good God. That's an interesting choice.
What's his contract situation, Ryan? Will you look that up?
Joel Erickson Ek?
Yeah.
He just signed a contract extension this summer.
Right. But that'll factor in into his movement. I'm just trying to see.
It's actually an amazing contract. Huh? It's a great contract. It's 2 years, including this year, 1.487.
23 years old?
22.
God, he has so much trade value then. Yeah, so with the fact that he's really the only name that has stood out. I would say he could, if it's the right team, he could fetch a mid to low first round pick.
Really?
I think he could, because there are teams that would be desperate for someone like that.
I would take that in a second.
Ottawa, I'm looking at you. Chicago, I'm looking at you. Who else?
Yeah, but Nino Niederreiter didn't even get a first-round pick.
That's Nino.
You got to think about like trade deadline brain and how they look at it too, because we see it all the time. Players get traded and overvalued by ton, but Erickson Ek doesn't even sniff the same league as like a Havlat did years back.
Right.
Like that's not even close. And so that's why like first round seems really high. And I don't know if anybody would actually bite for the first round pick. But Logan, you could be right based off of his contract, his age, with the right organization, with the right minded coach. He
could
be
a
molded into a type like a Bergeron, but not a scoring type.
Right.
But he could be a good two way, maybe even a Mikko Koivu in his prime. He could.
He could fetch a higher pick than we think.
The fact that he is so young and has stood out so well against this Minnesota team, like just step forward and completely been in the spotlight effortlessly.
Right.
To start this season, that's why I think he could fetch that first round pick, just because everyone's looking at the loaded Minnesota roster that theoretically should be scoring, and it's this young kid who is carrying that load right now. And if he can shoulder that burden and do it so, from what we see, flawlessly, I think teams would be falling over themselves to get someone like that that's that young, that competent, and that calm in the face of what has to be chaos in Minnesota. So that's why I think he would go high. However, if you have a team that has that salary cap space but is not willing to give up a first rounder, I could see him going for a second and or a third. Because his contract is so low that it makes it worth it. You're not signing someone like Zuccarello to 5 years, $5 million. You're signing a 22-year-old at, what was it, 1.7? That's an incredibly good deal.
Right, but he hasn't done anything, though.
So that's the thing with me.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't done it enough. I'll say that.
Right. He'd have to have like 40 points by the time the trade deadline rolled around for me to be like, maybe they go a first round pick. Because he hasn't shown consistency to produce. Mm-hmm. He's shown that he can skate and that he can keep up, but he's not perfect defensively.
No,
either.
No, no.
He's still really inexperienced.
And he's young.
Young. But I don't see how besides like any team that Peter Chiarelli is running that would send that type of compensation back for somebody who has yet to hit 30 points, I think, in his career.
Can I just say I miss him being a GM in
Same.
The league?
It was so much fun.
I love
you never
ripping
knew
Chiarelli. God. They finally smartened up.
All right, guys, hear me out. Joel Erickson Ek for Tyler Toffoli straight up, one for one.
No, there's 0% chance.
Oh,
why
do
you want Tyler Toffoli?
Huh?
You want to trade one culture just cesspool for another?
Why?
Well, Tyler Toffoli's on the trade block now.
Yeah, but just because he's on the trade block doesn't mean he's a good fit for this team. Tyler Toffoli's riding
just,
the pine.
I'm just throwing stuff out there just because I'm trolling.
It's a culture problem down there, too. You don't want to – you're trading a decent, like, culture guy for a less than stellar one.
Yeah. No, I'm not being serious by saying that. I'm just throwing
– off
it. Tossing
right.
it
yeah,
out
that's
there.
That's right. Retract.
Remember, half the things I say are awful, so –
Well, that's true. But so for those of you on the podcast who don't know, I'm a billet parent for my local WHL hockey team.
Oh,
one of the two.
Awesome.
And what WHL hockey team, Logan?
The Portland Winterhawks.
Oh.
The Minnesota Connection.
And what players are you billeting?
I am billeting Jonas Bronberg, number 27. He's a defenseman from Denmark. And Keyshawn Gervais, number 20, who is a forward from Saskatchewan, Canada. But the reason I was doing that like segue was Jonas Bronberg is a diehard Kings fan. And so under duress, I have allowed him to watch the Kings games in our living room TV.
Heck yeah. Let the man watch.
Yeah, and watching the games with him and watching Toffoli, it's really odd to think, why would any team trade for him? I would rather keep Erickson Ek, who
correct
has some flaws, needs some time to develop, than take Toffoli, because it is not an equal trade at all from, you know, the half dozen Kings games that I've watched so far this year. It's like, why would you ever trade someone promising for someone?
Logan, no, what's it like watching season. What's it like watching hockey with a young, like, junior hockey player? Is it
lots of swearing?
Yep, that sounds about right.
Is he like breaking everything down with you and like watching the whole game and like just kind of giving you the basic X's and O's?
They're really great though. We've watched a couple of games together, and the passes that they see, the skating choices that they notice are so different from what someone like me, who doesn't play hockey, notices.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed my watching games has gotten a lot smarter, essentially, with, you know, watching with them, which has been really, really great. And, you know, hearing them chirp me for covering two different NHL teams and then loving two other NHL teams as well, that's been glorious.
Right.
So, yeah, it's weird when you kind of turn that switch when you go away from watching the puck and who has the puck to watching
everything
who doesn't
else.
Have the puck.
Right.
Well, not everything else, but the way when I coach players, I always say, you pick a player that you want to watch on the shift. I'm like, don't watch the puck.
Yeah.
They stay in frame for the most of the time because all of us move together.
Yeah.
Pick a player and watch what they do and break down what they are doing within the game, because you can just mindlessly watch hockey and just go into autopilot mode, which a lot of players who actually do play do. But that's the way, that's where you pick up those little things where, like you said, Logan, the passes, the skating decisions, you're like, why do you take this inside lane versus breaking to the outside and try to cut in? Well, they did this because A, B, C, and D, and they can break it down and identify everything. It's great.
And that's why I love watching Mark Stone. Like,
yes.
When you, like, so for those of you who don't know, Lindsay and I, we're pretty cool. We're credentialed for the Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Mm.
And so we go to all their home games, and watching Mark Stone, man, even when he's nowhere near the puck, you just keep your eyes on him, like Lindsay was saying, the whole shift. And it's then you realize why.
Mm-hmm. It's the game behind the game.
It's crazy.
Strategy to it.
Right, right. Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed has gotten sharper watching hockey for me has been what happens behind the net.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, it was just such a cluster of players that I never really could kind of understand the choices that were being made there. And having my two kids, especially a defender,
mm-hmm.
who is often in that scrum in his own games, explaining to me the choices that are going through their heads when they're playing like that, it makes so much more sense now of why those scrums happen so often and happen the way that they do.
Yep. Body positioning is everything, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Lead with your butt. That's what you got to do.
You got to move your ass.
Yep.
Get your ass
lead with
in
your
the
butt.
Way.
That's your biggest tool. That's your biggest shield.
Drop that ass.
Drop that ass.
Hey,
you guys should call me in a week and a half after I've had my knee surgery when I'm completely drugged on painkillers.
Oh, that'll be great.
Ask me how I like watching hockey while on, like, heavy-duty narcotics.
On Oxy.
We'll just all be, like, slightly intoxicated, and we'll all see, like, who's the biggest shit show.
Hockey wilderness after hours.
Yeah, there you go.
But just to hear the difference in my answer from, well, here's the, you know, really intuitive things I'm noticing, and then just, I just really love hockey.
Yeah.
He skated really fast and then scored. It was pretty sweet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So guys, we're actually going to take a little different angle this week.
Oh.
We decided to do a little miniature mailbag this week.
We did.
We got a few really good questions on Facebook, and I just wanted to go through those, and I think they're pretty good. There's some good conversation starters.
Excellent.
That I think a lot of people are interested in. So Jake Higgins asks on Facebook, who's the first player to move in a trade?
Who's the first player to
get traded.
Fiala.
That's a fun one.
He's on the shit list, man. I think it's between probably he and Donato, I would think, would be the quickest ones to move. But it's more or less, is he being moved because somebody wants him, or is he being moved because they feel like he's a detriment to the locker room? That's going to be a thing. But I think it's Fiala, just because Donato, I don't know. I haven't met him. I haven't talked to him. But he's a coach's kid. His dad has coached Harvard for forever. Like, I have a feeling that even if he's being a little bit prickish and being just a young guy in the NHL, or he's not doing things, all the things he needs to do.
Not saying he is.
Not saying he is, and not saying he's not.
I heard he's awesome.
Right. Either way, it's dumb, but that holds credence in these decisions because that's a culture thing, and that's what Guerin is here to do this season. It's not to wins and loss. It's not even tanking. It's resetting the culture in this locker room because it's about 5 years overdue, and it's festered since.
It's just funny that they're trying to, you know, reset the culture in the locker room, and they're immediately moving players who they just got
and
last season.
And Fiala just seems like so...
just not...
He just doesn't seem intense. He seems gun-shy a little bit, and he just seems like he's not one of those guys to be like, I'm going to put it all on the line for the boys.
And he does have the tools. I think that's...
Does he, though?
He has the speed.
I've seen
he can move.
Well, anybody can skate fast, but can you skate fast in a productive manner and stop and start and keep your effort up and play
hockey?
That's
the weird thing. He did so well. And I think it was a couple seasons ago with Nashville.
One season. So did Victor Rask with Carolina, but we're not talking about him in the same way, are
right,
we, Logan?
Right. Yep. It's so bizarre. These trades that Fenton made, man, it gives me a headache.
Yep.
What was he doing?
Doesn't matter. They're here.
Oh, my God. But I will say one thing that's good for them is Fiala, 23 years old. Donato, 23 years old. Eriksson Ek, 22.
Young.
So they're all young players who do have some degree of success in the NHL.
Logan, who do you think is going to move first?
I really do think Fiala, because I have not seen enough out of him to warrant him not being one of the first dominoes to fall. He just has not impressed me in the games he's played in. He's not making the right passes. He's not in the right place at the right time. He's dropping chances. He can't get the puck on the net to save his life.
He really can't.
Well, neither can anyone else.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. In defense of him, everyone sucks at hitting the net.
Fair.
So,
but I remember, what was it, 2016-17 with Nashville. He was very, very good, as far as I remember, and seeing him now, you know, a couple of years on, it's like, is that the same guy? What happened to him? He's just kind of petered out, and I don't know if it's the chemistry of the team isn't the same. He has hit like some sort of a plateau or a slump, but I think something has to change for him. I think the best thing for him at this point is to go to a different team,
right,
and hopefully find his place there and wish him well, have fun, good luck, buddy, but I don't think he's going to stay with the Wild.
Yeah, my money's on Fiala, too. And, like, I feel like he really could be a good player.
Well, he needs to get better, because I bet you he's just like most players where they get to the league, they have a really good first year, if they have a good first year, and then they think they don't have to get any better,
right,
because it's super easy.
Yeah.
But then everybody has the book on you. We see this happen in football all the time with quarterbacks, like Baker Mayfield. He's going to be so good this year.
Yeah.
Oh, how's he doing this year?
Yeah. What would be
they have
so,
the book on him.
What would be so Minnesota Wild is if, you know, they go through this trade, they trade him, and then he uses this as like a learning experience, and then he becomes like...
No, that's textbook Minnesota.
Textbook
wild. We send players away, and then they
and then
end up
amazing.
Being Charlie Coyle and
yeah.
nearly winning a Conn Smythe. It's unbelievable. It happens to us constantly. We can trace championships all over the town of Boston directly to the state of Minnesota. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Let's extend this question a little bit. Who are your players that, under no circumstances, is it acceptable to move them at all?
Logan, why don't you go?
Oh. That's an interesting question. So who is not acceptable to be
like,
moved off the
team? If they do it, pitchforks and things and picket signs
Ooh.
Should be brought out.
I honestly don't... I would... My first gut reaction is Stalock. Odd.
Oh.
Oddly, because he... Unfortunately, I think his... you know, before last night with Dallas, poor guy, had been doing decently well. I think...
He is under a very good contract for...
Yeah, but he's
he
a
is.
Backup goaltender.
Yeah.
And they could just... There are guys that are on the street that are probably just as in shape or other guys that are waiting
exactly.
in the
room,
too. Yeah. I don't know. Watching Dumba, he... And I know he missed a major portion of last season due to a horrible injury, but he's been very solid for them for a while now, And I'm not just saying this because he's a Winterhawks alum, so I'm loyal to that.
Right, right.
I think he's young, he's fast, he plays the game well.
Good contract?
As far as I remember, good contract.
Yep.
And I think because they have such an aging core, he's primed to be the next wave of the core, and they need to start thinking about that of when Parise and Suter and everybody else are gone, who is that next leadership group, and I think he's going to be part of that. So I think people would be really upset if he were to be traded.
Lindsay, what about
Unfortunately,
you?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen enough from the other guys to warrant Pitchfork's and Torch's reaction. Mm-hmm. So he's the only one I can think of.
If anything, Dumba's a well-liked personality on the team, but I think people would be more upset if he got traded with the fact that they saved him from the expansion draft when the Golden Knights came into existence, and they gave up Alex Tuck and Eric Howla in the process, and basically killed all the momentum that they had going. And this team would be a very different team. I'm not saying if they kept Howla or they kept Tuck that it was going to go, but whatever happened, it disrupted something, and they wanted to protect him, and so that was the big thing. And so, if anything, it's almost like, well, you're giving up on a deal that you already lost and are paying, you know, that are being punished for already. Now you're just making it worse.
Right.
But for me, there is no untouchable on this roster. Anyone should be moved out that can be moved, and that includes Jason Zucker, who I think is your most valuable asset.
I do agree.
That includes Devan Dubnyk. All of these guys should be able to, because if you're going to look at it from a straight-up business standpoint, these guys aren't getting it done, and everybody has a price. If somebody walked in and said, we're going to give you a first-rounder and a second-line center who's not going to score you a ton of goals but is going to be solid for you for Jason Zucker, I don't see how you say no to that.
Right.
I'm sorry. Uh-oh. And if you're going to do the rebuild thing and if you're going to do the tank thing,
correctly,
do it the right way.
Don't try to
save people because they're worried about the fans are already pissed.
Yeah.
So just do it, and I get it. You want to rebuild, and you want to have some people in that leadership group. But to be totally honest, none of these young guys, Matt Dumba included, haven't done enough to step up that would make me confident 3-4 years down the road being like, that's my leader.
This season's just been bad for everybody. Now, I will say this. The one player who I would keep, and I'm honestly a little surprised that you didn't say this because I know you think very highly of him, Luke Cunningham.
He's not playing
He hasn't been playing well.
That's the name of the game, my friends. You're not playing well. Guess what? You're on the block. Just because you're on the block doesn't mean you're going to get traded, but that means it's also a kick in the pants too, because if you're getting dangled and you're getting talked about, those players, I stay off of Twitter. Sure you do. Either they look at it themselves or their families let them know or somebody else does. And sometimes they need a good kick in the pants. And this team, I don't know if they've been bag scattered yet. I don't know if they've been really had a good old Bruce Boudreau just undressing filled with F-bombs and everything. I don't know how deep Bruce has had to dig in his pockets in terms of like the coaching tricks that you have to bring out sometimes to get the players ready to go. Like Mike Yeo freaked out on them years ago.
Yeah,
like sometimes you need those. But sometimes you can't use the blow up on the team every time. That's a card you can only play 2 or 3 times before you can't play it anymore.
That's
so
why Tortorella only lasts.
That's why it's 5 years
plays.
Basically max for him before he gets shipped out of wherever he's coaching.
Next. Oh, I'm sorry, Logan. You go ahead.
Two thoughts. One, you know, we're talking about no players untouchable. Can we just take a moment to recognize how odd that is? That we have such a theoretically an incredible roster and we're saying none of these guys should be protected. Whereas I think almost every other team in the league, mostly, you look at the roster, you can immediately identify 2, maybe 3 guys that, my God, you cannot get rid of them. It would decimate the team and
right.
for the next 5 years. But we look at Minnesota and go, yep, you know, fold the roster, start from scratch, just completely cull the list and go over it again. And I think that is something that I have not seen in a long time in this league, where a roster has tanked so badly and across the whole roster.
And to be so handcuffed too.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, how long before people start calling for Boudreau's position?
Oh, they already have.
It's already starting.
People have been calling for his head since like last year.
And I do agree. I do agree.
Well, who's better? Who out there is going to do a better job?
I do agree with them. Yeah. Like, because apparently, according to Bill Guerin, said it himself. He's like, yeah, I'm giving him a long leash. Like, I'm not going to do something just to do it.
Bill Guerin played a lot of hockey. He gets it. He's been on good teams. He's won cups, and he's been on shit teams too. And he understands how those things go.
None of this is his fault. To me. Like
Bruce. No.
Yeah. No.
Some of it's his fault, but you can't.
Not all.
That's
of
not.
It.
It's not so far gone that he should be the fall guy, because if they fire him, that sends the wrong message. It does. Yeah. It worsens the culture.
So this kind of leaks into our next mailbag question from Paul Erickson. Paul Buzz Erickson. Is it time to tank, basically? And I think we can all agree yes, right? I mean, it's time to actually,
it's time to commit to something. Commit to a direction, please.
Yes. Like, rebuild. Just do it. Just do it. Like, I know you have to, basically, best case scenario, you have to hope to God that Ryan Suter and Zach Parise play until they're 40 years old. That sucks.
No,
but
you don't.
You know what? Like, well, what other option is there?
I'd take the extra roster spot personally because at the end of the day, a 37-year-old, 38-year-old, like, half just decapitated Zach Parise from the back, and then Ryan Suter's, I don't know.
And then pay $6 million for both?
Yeah, but if you get the roster, if they're that bad, that's what
you
do.
That's true. Yeah. If they get to that point, you got to.
That's what you do. That's what a buyout is.
But it's just the whole thing with that.
We'll see.
You have to just start paying for it now. You got to. Mm. And
Logan, do you think it's time to tank?
I think it is. And with the 2020 draft roster, I think they absolutely should.
It's loaded.
10-72, get that first round pick and just clean up at the draft. Trade as many of the guys in the current roster as they can for high picks and just start the rebuild now. Tank and start from scratch. There is no other option at this point to me with the contract that they're handcuffed with.
And that actually brings us quite perfectly into our final question that we got in our mailbag. Michael O'Shea asks, is there a really, really good Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews type in this year's draft? Lindsay, I know you're not the biggest prospect person, but I do have good news. There are a ton of really, really unbelievably good prospects this year that one could consider.
What was the reader's name again? What was the guy who asked the question?
Michael O'Shea.
Mr. O'Shea, there's no Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid in this draft, because if there were, I would have heard about them, and there might be a lot of really great players, but there's no Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, because if there was, they would be on front pages, on the regular, on NHL.com. People would be doing all their... When Connor McDavid was coming out for the draft, there were entire beat writers just literally on Connor McDavid.
This player is not Connor McDavid, but apparently, according to all the scouts, he's close. Alexis Lafreniere. They're saying that he's been compared to Sidney Crosby, and I'm not saying he's going to be Sidney Crosby, but they are saying that he is a franchise-changing player, as will be Quentin Byfield of the Sudbury Wolves in the OHL. And then you have players like Cole Perfetti, Alexander Holtz. I believe it's Alexander Holtz. Lots of really good players in this year's draft that if the Wild get a top 10 pick, they're getting a stud. That's how good this first round is.
And it's not just the top 10. It's the entire first two rounds.
It is. You're right.
So deep. My God. Watching some of the guys in the WHL who are projected to go – you know, first, second, third round, it is really startling how deep the talent is that these guys are projected to go second, third, fourth, because there is so much talent.
Right. And not how Minnesota sports in general, just how their luck is not so great. I'm sure, Lindsay, you can agree with that. So
slightly less than ideal.
Less than ideal. But let's pretend for 1 year, just once, just one time, the Minnesota Wild get lucky and they win the draft lottery.
Ha!
If they were to do it. Alexis Lafreniere, 16 games in the QMJHL this year, 39 points. Dude's pretty good.
How good was Kaapo Kakko a couple months ago? How many goals does he have right now?
Oh, boy. Is he even playing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's playing. How many goals does Jack Hughes have?
I don't even know.
I don't even know. Don't believe it till you see it, my friends.
The fact we have to ask if Kaapo Kakko is playing answers a lot of questions.
He has two goals this year. He has two goals. And he was supposed to be going over Jack Hughes. This is why prospects bother me, and this is why – well, they don't bother me. This is why I try not to get too bent out of shape, because you really cannot take a true evaluation until at least the third season. Because first season is literally like you're a toddler. You're getting handheld and brought around the league. It's a blur. Second season, it's
– your under you.
Yeah, exactly. Second season, now you're a little more seasoned. That's usually when you like to take a step. Third season, then it's like, hey, you're an upperclassman if you were in college or in high school. It's the same type of thing. But that's why Connor McDavid is so special. That's why Austin Matthews is so special, because they stepped in. And I believe Austin Matthews had four goals in his very first NHL game.
Yes.
I believe I'm not mistaken. And
it was against the Senators, but you know.
Saying is that we have to – Alexi, whatever his name is, might be the next Sidney Crosby or might be the whatever. But let's be honest, like you said, the luck is not going to be there. And if it is there, the NHL will manipulate it and change it. There's 0% chance. There's no way they're going to send that type of talent up here. There's no chance. But you gotta just pump the brakes and look at the roster you have. And yeah, you gotta try to take and get the highest draft pick possible. But which area do you attack on the roster first? Say you do.
It's gotta be forward, right?
Well,
they need scoring.
Well, there's multiple positions at forward.
Oh well, I mean, well, I guess you go
center. You have to go center. Yeah. You have to go center.
Because Koivu's gone. He's gone after
well,
this.
I don't give a shit about Koivu. Koivu's not exactly a piece of value right now. They haven't had a true center like ever.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like he's going to be gone, so you can't even pretend that he's your number one center anymore.
Watch, they'll re-sign him and they'll just compound.
If they re-sign Miko, I know you're listening. Friend of the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he listens. Like, why would you not, right? We say this every week. They don't listen. Nobody listens. Miko, if you're listening, I know you are. We love you, but don't. Just don't come back. Like, we need the cap space. We need the, the younger
people. Need the C back, too, because that needed to be revoked about 5 years ago as well.
Right. So, you need a center, and I don't know. You need right shot players, and unfortunately.
Do you, though?
What was that?
Do you need right shot players, though?
According to Bill Guerin, you do.
Well, he could probably do so, but I think if we're going to be choosy about the handedness of our players, that means we're probably focusing on a little bit too much of the details right now. But they need everything. Nitpicking. But, yeah, it's you got to really – because this is where your money is made as a GM. It's not just going for the next year. It's about projecting these things 5 years down the road and how each move affects that team's trajectory, either going up or down or if it's fitting to their vision.
Right.
All of these things.
Yeah.
All these thoughts and feelings.
So, folks, we have it appears that we have run out of time, but I do want to make a quick little shameless plug. We here at SB Nation NHL have started a new polling project. And basically what this project is we pull together insights from some of the most plugged in NHL fans. And if that describes you, you should join us on our SB Nation Fan Pulse project. So basically, today is Wednesday, the October 30th. You may have seen an article published today about how NHL fans are not confident about the Wild making the playoffs. Shocker, right? Probably not. That's a poll that we created that was formulated from real NHL fans. They put their opinions out there, and they themselves all agreed, yeah, the Wild are not looking too good for the playoffs this year. So we're going to be doing little polls like that, and it's not always going to be negative like that. It's going to be it could be which team will finish with the least amount of points, which team will finish with the most amount of points, or things like that. So fun little poll questions that if you want to answer, that gives you the opportunity to do so and voice your opinion. So if you would like to do that, we have a article or a sign-up page on our homepage. You can find it towards the on the bottom of like our main section called Calling All Wild Fans Join NHL Fan Pulse. So you should do that. It's a lot of fun, and it'll help us create some really fun content down the road. So keep that in mind.
You never know. Maybe the Minnesota staff are reading the fan poll results and go, well, shit, guess we need to start changing a few things.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're the ones who inspired them to win the Stanley Cup in 2020.
I mean, I'm sitting here watching,
Lindsay just gave me this look like.
Because we're in beer and champagne. Literally anything can happen.
Right.
So, at Minnesota. Let's go.
Let's go. Folks, thank you so much for listening to episode 4. This is Ryan Quigley leaving you. My Twitter handle, RP_Quigs. Lindsay is at LindsayBrown35. And Logan, tell the people where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Logan Starkchel, CHEL, short for the NHL, obviously. And apologies, it's going to be a couple days of yelling about baseball, but I will be back to hockey soon.
That's fine. Acceptable. That's all, folks. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.